everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
We're getting some good ambience now.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Man on bike, we'll keep that in.
Good field recording.
Oh, child crying, we'll keep that in.
Hello and welcome to Midnight Chats, a podcast of informal interviews with musicians we love, posted weekly at midnight to suit these very casual conversations. This week's episode is hosted by me, Stuart Stubbs, the editor of Loud and Quiet magazine. Episode 119 of the podcast has got a bit of a different feel to previous ones. It was recorded earlier this year in June 2022 in Barcelona. I was out there for Primavera Sound, as was my guest, Ollie Judge, the drummer and singer of Bristol-based band Squid. We were there at the festival. I'd been there for a good week. We were out there covering it. We're a partner of that festival. We go every year. We have a lovely, lovely time. And we try to meet up with a couple of bands each time and interview them. We've done a couple of podcasts there before, and they're normally quite hastily put together. The Angel Olsen episode, which was a long time ago now. It's still out there. If you'd like to go and find it, just go back through the feed. That was recorded at Primavera, but it was in a very busy lobby, a hotel lobby where all the bands stay. So the sound quality wasn't great. For this one, I had an idea of Ollie and myself walking along the seafront, walking along and picking up the sounds of the sea and the ambiance of a lovely Barcelona. And then we got there and the weather was beautiful, but there was still too much wind down actually on the sea for us to do that and for it to be audible. So what we did was we sat on a park bench, as you're about to hear. There was a park near our hotels. Our hotels were very close to each other. We met outside the one I was staying in. We walked to the park and we recorded this. Has it worked as an experiment? I'll let you be the judge of that. I'd be interested to know. So feel free to DM us on Instagram at Loud and Quiet Mag if you have an opinion on it. The idea was that you would get a sense of place and it wouldn't just be two voices in a very still room. We thought we'd make the most of being in such a lovely environment. So that was what we were going for. So it does sound a little bit different, but I very much enjoyed talking to Ollie. I've met him a fair few times before. In fact, we featured Squid on the cover of Loud and Quiet last year when their debut album, Bright Green Field, came out. And I photographed the cover feature, which is not something I do. I'm not a photographer, but there were lockdown restrictions. It's a long, boring story that I won't go into now, but it meant I had to photograph the cover myself. I think I did all right. I think I did okay. I didn't embarrass myself too much. There's a link below this episode to that cover interview. There's also a link to the mittens that I bemoan for a lot of this episode, the Loud and Quiet gloves that we've made and are selling like shit sandwiches. And there's maybe a few other links down there. I'll see what I can dig out. Ollie and I talk about NFTs. We talk about Primavera itself, religion, Warp Records. And there is, towards the end of the conversation, a few kind of little hints at maybe what the new Squid album is going to sound like. Perhaps. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy it, please do tell a friend. That's the thing that we're really trying to get people to do at the moment. Tell a mate. Go back, listen to some of our old ones. If this is your first time here, spread the word. We want as many people to listen to Midnight Chats as possible, obviously. And if you really do like it, then there is also a link below where you can support the show with a donation. But more importantly, just tell someone. Okay, thanks very much. This is episode 119. Myself, Ollie Judge from Squid, sat on a park bench in Barcelona.
So this is nice.
It is very nice.
It's, set the scene for us where we are right now.
We are just in your garden, I think, with your hotel room.
Yeah. It's huge, isn't it?
Yeah. Big park with a massive structure in the lake.
Yeah, we're in a park that's... It's quite a... It feels like the sort of park that might be in Blade Runner to me.
Really?
Well, you know, like this structure over here feels like quite futuristic, but in an 80s, very 80s way.
Yeah.
It looks like there's a disused sort of roller coaster.
European Blade Runner.
Yeah, European Blade Runner. We're here. Expressive. So I had an idea for this, which was that we were going to have a romantic walk along the beach while we record this podcast.
A la Zane Lowe kind of style.
Exactly. instead, we're sat next to very unhappy child, but it's so windy down there. We've come to this park. We have a Primavera sound.
Yep.
You're playing today.
Today, 7:45.
Drove in yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is your first time playing it.
Yeah, second time playing in Spain. It's very nice. It's very relaxing.
It's really hot. It's about 25. It's in the morning. It's about 25 degrees already. How are you in the heat?
I'm terrible in the heat. I usually burn.
Yeah.
I've asked you to bring sun cream.
Yeah. Happy to. Yeah. Happy to for the talent. Got to keep the talent happy.
Yeah. I'm not very good in the heat.
Yeah.
I go red like a lobster.
And so our hotels are just over there. What's your hotel like?
Well, we've got a rooftop pool, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty swanky.
Goldie staying in there as well.
Yeah.
Saw him in the morning. Yeah, it's pretty good. Good breakfast as well.
Yeah.
Fresh fruit. It's very nice.
Did you take anything away from breakfast? They don't like it, I found out, but did you do that?
Yeah.
Did you get caught out? Our hotel has a sign.
do not steal.
As a sign saying, please eat the food here and leave. Do not take it with you.
It's really,
no one's paying attention to that sign.
Yeah, it's really handy when you're going for a drive the next day, when you've got to drive to another gig, because you just make a sandwich in the morning. Mm. You don't have to get lunch on the way.
Yeah.
But this morning it was just purely breakfast on site.
Yeah. And your day now, mm-hmm. how does that look? Because you're playing around like between 7 and 8, aren't you? Like around 7:30-ish.
Yeah, so I've got to be there at like 5, so... Do this, have a coffee.
Get back to the pool.
Yeah, might go for a swim at the beach, maybe.
Do you tend to get nervous before a show? And if so, at what point, how many hours before the show do you start to think about it?
I think like pre-lockdown, I never used to get nervous, but nowadays I get quite nervous before gigs. Mainly like headline shows, I think, because it's like, you know, that all these people have bought a ticket to see you play. Mm.
So that's the difference since lockdown.
Yeah,
is it because you're aware of the fact that? Is it because you're aware of the fact that everyone's had a miserable time and they're now there for a good time?
No, it's more like, you know, like people have come to see you play. Like they haven't. You're not like supporting anyone, or like it's kind of all about Squid, and you just want to put on a good show, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's the nerve-wracking thing.
Yeah.
And also, we've got so much on stage now, it kind of takes like at least like 2 hours to set up. So when you go to a festival, you've got half an hour to set up all the gongs.
How many gongs are we talking now?
I mean, we've whittled it down to one, but it used to be two. It was a hard bargain, but I think it had to be done.
You had to leave a gong behind. Yeah. Well, tonight you're on a stage. You've not been to the site before, have you?
No, never been. No.
You're on what most people consider the best stage.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's the stage that... So we're in the second week of Primavera now. Yeah. Last weekend, Pavement played on the first night. And they wanted to play the stage you're playing. They weren't allowed because...
Great. It's a bit smaller.
It's a bit smaller, but it's big. Yeah. I don't want to add to your nerves. But,
it's huge.
It's absolutely massive. And everyone's expectation is really high because it's the best one. So they will let you know if they don't know. It's kind of a bit like an amphitheatre.
Oh, great.
So, like, there's these steps that... seats/steps that kind of wrap around it.
Yeah.
It's the one. You've
I heard it.
You've gone straight in at that one because I think people normally work up to that.
Yeah. I heard it was the Ray-Ban stage this year. It's quite upsetting because I just lost my free Ray-Bans that they gave me. So.
You used to get free Ray-Bans, I think, for playing it, but now it's sponsored by a car company.
Great.
So quids in, really.
I heard there's an NFT stage as well.
It's there?
Yeah, I think we saw Black Country the other day and they said they played on the NFT stage.
Oh, hey, that explains what that stage is. It's called Binance, I think. I keep calling it Bitface, but I think it's called Binance. And because there are certain stages, all the stages are sponsored.
Yeah.
And there are some where I'm like, I know what that company is. Like, there's an Estrella stage, right? But there's some I don't actually know what that thing is.
They're made up or something. Like, kind of Nathan Barley.
Yeah. The trash stage. Okay, so that's an NFT. Alright, I mean, yeah. So where do
free
you...
Free NFTs, maybe.
Has Squid done an NFT yet?
Not yet. We'll see how it pans out.
Yeah. Where do you stand on the NFT?
I stand on the kind of... I have no idea what they are.
What it is.
And, yeah. I mean, I'm only 27, but it makes me feel...
Ancient.
Ancient, yeah.
Yeah. With things like that, I do... feel I should try to engage with it and know what it is.
Yeah.
So I don't turn into like an old grumpy man that thinks that the past was better than the
yeah, now. I know what you mean.
But it's hard.
I know, it's just...
It's hard to have the energy to do it.
I kind of think back to like when things were invented, like say Bluetooth, like headsets. Mm. I used to see people walking around like talking to themselves and be like, oh, God. Is that what the future's going to be? I feel like it's the kind of same with NFTs. Yeah. Just kind of don't get it now, but like maybe in 5 years it'll...
Well, I'm surprised they're still here. I thought it might be a month long.
Yeah, a little fast. A
few months, like, well, this is nonsense.
So. Yeah.
But that, you know, it's big money, isn't it?
Yeah.
What'd you say on TikTok?
I've got it downloaded on my phone.
Yeah.
I never go on it because I'm worried about... getting dragged into it.
Yeah.
Because I spend a lot of time on social media and I think that'd just be the tipping point if I got on TikTok.
But what one do you waste the most amount of time on?
Probably Instagram. Mm. Kind of leaning over into Twitter nowadays as well. Quite like that.
And is this the band account or your own account?
Band account.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got a bit more purchase with the band.
People actually respond
to
that one.
Yeah.
Well, we've got
what the hell's Ollie doing?
on Twitter we've only got, I don't have a personal one, we've got a magazine one.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't be surprised by this anymore, but I'm still surprised by how much people ignore us on it.
I don't ignore you guys.
You don't. But you know, there'll be times. I think if we're operating on 3 likes for what I would consider a very good joke, my really good stuff,
the creme de la creme.
Yeah, the good shit. I'm getting 3 likes, and I'm having to be happy with that.
Those 3 people, though, they're
really liking it.
They're really
enjoying it. On the NFT front, as a, I feel like, because you're signed to Warp,
Yeah.
I don't know why, I just, this is a sweeping statement. I feel like that's a Warp thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think Aphex Twin did one maybe a year or two ago. But yeah, I know what you mean. Very like techie kind of.
It's techie, and your website has got, I'm not going to say an NFT, Phil, because I don't really know what an NFT is, but it's got...
Neither do I, but I agree with you.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you're listening and you haven't been on Squid's website, check it out.
Go on the message board. We're never on it.
Are people on it?
When we released the album, there were people on it, and I tried to keep engaged, but it's pretty hard.
How would you describe the site? How would you sell the site now to someone?
It's like an NFT. It's no, it's like we tried to create like a fictional kind of city. I don't know if you're into video games, but it looks a bit like Halo.
Mm.
And there's some nice music on there. There's some like secret passwords that you can put in there that take you to other websites to do with the album. I was really proud of it, actually.
Reminds me of the sort of website, like, websites used to be more fun than they are now.
Yeah.
They're all just very...
It's like a holding page.
No, yeah, really. And they're really, as included, they're just quite... It's all about ease of use.
Yeah.
Which is good for a user, but it kind of has taken out any of the kind of creative thing of it. And yours has got, like, something to it.
Yeah.
I would say.
Nice.
I mean, Warp are the label for this stuff, I think.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're just
good.
Very good on visuals.
Yeah, yeah.
And do they just... How does that work? Do you say that we've got this idea for a website? And they say, that's fine, we'll make that for you. Or do they just say, we're going to do this?
We definitely need pushing. We're kind of... I mean, it's like just five people kind of shouting over each other. So no one has like the final say.
Mm.
And we're not very... we don't really know where to like look for all that stuff. So Warp kind of... just send us a list of stuff, which is really nice.
Yeah.
But we're really bad at all the artwork and all that. We've all got five different minds all shouting over each other.
I think you're styling it out. Who is the most visually arty? Did any of you study art?
No, that three studied music, one did neuroscience, and I did one of those media studies degrees.
Yeah, good lad.
So,
Is there any transferable skills from your media studies degree? I'm not going to be down on media studies. I know people, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
People always are like,
the Mickey Mouse degree.
That's not a degree. I did film and drama, and I studied media studies at A level. So, I'm with you. I'm in your team. But did you. Is there anything that you use from that? What a crap question.
No, it was good because I used to
like
work.
I'm interviewing you for a job. What did you learn in your degree that you can bring to the position of Singer of Squid?
I used to work at record labels, so it's actually really handy for that.
Yeah.
And by extension, working at record labels is really handy for being in a band. So it's kind of like through a few channels, it's been pretty useful, I reckon.
You go to Brighton?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I went to Brighton and the rest went to Sussex. Because I applied to go to Brighton last minute. I didn't have the grades to get in there, but I just needed one more choice. And I didn't realise that Brighton was in Sussex. when I was like 19, which is quite worrying. But yeah, I turned up to Brighton and then I knew Louis already from home. I turned up at a house party and Louis was there and I was like, I thought you were going to uni in like the Midlands or something. Like Sussex. And then he was like, this is Sussex. So that's good.
And he still wanted to be in a band with you. Today you were saying you drove from Switzerland.
Yeah.
You're currently doing a very casual tour.
Yeah, very casual. It's just a holiday pretty much.
Yeah.
Because my parents just sold up everything in the UK and moved to France, so their new place is in between here and where we were in Switzerland, so
right.
Just stayed there.
Was that your childhood home?
Yeah, but it was also my dad's childhood home because he's lived there for like 55 years or something. So.
That's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How, I was going to ask, how do you feel about it? But I'm actually just going to ask, how do your dad feel about it?
I think a lot worse than me, I think. He says he keeps on having, like, recurring dreams that he goes into the house and then he notices that someone else lives there. then he has to, like, scupper.
Oh,
but I think I'm pretty sure they're pretty happy in France. The weather's better. So.
Do you? How does it feel then, Felix? Because you live in Bristol now.
Yeah.
And obviously you're quite settled there into Bristol life.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think I'll be there for a while.
Stay there.
Yeah.
But how? Because my mum still lives in the home that I ever knew.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I'd feel if she suddenly, like, it's quite a big thing, isn't it, when your family home, if you've had one,
yeah,
and then it is no longer there, and your parents have moved to a completely different country.
I know. It is.
Does it feel?
I don't know. I felt kind of like a lot of people came up to me and were like, oh, you know, you're all right. Like, how do you feel? And I was just kind of like, oh, kind of fine, to be honest. Like, because I haven't really had any attachment to, like, Chippenham, where I grew up.
Hmm.
In a while. So I've lived in Brighton and London and Bristol. So I was kind of barely there. I wasn't really there for like 10 years. So kind of settled more in Bristol.
Yeah, and now you can go to France and stay there. How's your French?
My French is dreadful. It's really,
oui bien.
Really bad. Si. Dos cerveza. Yeah, no, it's dreadful. I think I had quite a, I wouldn't say traumatic, but my French teacher at school really didn't like me.
Right.
And I was like a goody two-shoes as well, that's why it was so shocking.
Can you remember the teacher's name?
Miss Powell.
Miss Powell.
Yeah.
What had you done?
I think my brother, who was a bit of a troublemaker, I think she taught him. And just kind of instantly.
Right, that makes sense.
Got the iron fist on me.
What kind of school did you go to? Was it a nice school or was it like a bit of a...
Was it a standard school? Just standard,
yeah.
Standard school, yeah.
Yeah. Was your French class, we would call it, the DOS subject? I don't think people use the word DOS.
Yeah, I use the word DOS. Yeah,
DOS
is
like dossing about.
Yeah.
But do you think young people use that word now? I bet they don't.
I'm not too sure.
I bet they don't.
But yeah, thinking about it now, it probably was the subject.
Yeah, it was like, my school was quite, I didn't necessarily realise it at the time, but it was quite a rough school.
Yeah.
Like just a state school. And we did Spanish, we didn't do French.
Mm.
But Jesus Christ, those poor teachers, because it was just chaos in that lesson.
Yeah.
And it's the one lesson that I wish I'd actually
listened.
Applied myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my regret from school.
I'm terrible with
because I'd love to speak languages. Yeah.
Our class once we did, it was a supply teacher and we did, like, every time she left the room and came back in, we'd all fall on the floor and like pretend to be dead apart from one person who refused to do it.
What class was this?
In French.
The DOS
subject.
Right, the DOS subject, yeah. Unsurprisingly, it was the French, okay. This is all adding up. And you would be one on the floor.
I think there was some, I don't know, they probably live in France and they're probably fluent.
Yeah. That's exactly. Quite a good
prank.
It's a good prank
for
teachers. I think if I was a teacher, which I never would be because I'm terrified of children bullying me.
Yeah.
And having been to a school where that happens, like, I couldn't do it. Like, I have so much respect for teachers. But there are certain things, like a story like that, I'd like to think I would be able to.
You'd find it funny,
go,
wouldn't you?
fair play, guys. Yeah. I mean, did you do it every week, though?
No, it was just once.
It was
and
a
then,
one-off,
And then, it never happened again. I think we all got told off quite severely.
And how does that come about? Did one kid come up with this idea?
Yeah.
And said, I've got this idea. When Miss Powell
we were kind of
in,
like huddled around, like, kind of like 18.
When Miss Power walks in, we're all going to just drop to the floor. And there's one person saying, well, I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that.
That's ridiculous.
I like learning French.
I'm here to learn.
I'm not dossing around.
I'm not dossing about with the rest of you. It's but you were genuinely a good student.
Yeah, I think I got two detentions over 5 years. That was pretty good.
At your school, did they tell you that if you get a detention, it goes on your public file and you won't get a job?
Yeah, no uni, forget it. You'll be working in McDonald's for the rest of your life.
Yeah, those kind of... It's funny how all schools have those...
kind of like urban myths.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I've got detention. I may as well drop out now.
Where's the crack pipe?
There's nothing for me. I've had to stay behind for an hour. Life is over.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
So where are you in the cycle, as they call it in the industry?
The cycle, like the famed cycle.
You're touring the first record still, but the first record came out at such a weird time.
Yeah, it's kind of odd because it came out in May last year, and we did a tour of really small venues in May. But that was just to like when you could only go and sit down at a venue.
So you played some of those shows where people all sat.
Yeah, it was like 30 people. Like every show. Well, it was kind of like a double whammy because we hadn't played a show in like a year. I think the first one was in Falmouth, actually, which is really, really nice. It was kind of, we were all incredibly nervous because we hadn't played a show for a year, and we were, instead of playing stuff from the album, we were just doing all kind of new stuff that we'd kind of written in lockdowns. And there were like 30 people, and you could see the whites of their eyes in the front of them, all sitting down.
I went to one of those shows.
Oh, what, the London one?
No, actually, it wasn't yours.
Oh, right. Sorry, that was very presumptuous.
No. I set myself up for that. It was a Working Men's Club show. Yeah. Yours would have been better. No offence to Working Men's Club. It was good. But it was really early on. It was before...
Is that like Oslo?
Yeah, it was at Oslo. Yeah. And it was... No one was allowed to even sing. It was that rule at your one. Yeah. Like, there was no singing.
I think some venues were pretty hot on that.
Yeah.
We played at a church in Totnes, and they were really hot on that.
I was in. I know that church, the St Mary's Church.
Oh yeah, you went to Sea
Change.
Yeah.
That's an incredible venue, isn't it?
It's really great.
I saw Caroline play in there at that festival.
Oh, I bet that was amazing.
It was really good. Yeah, and Gweno played in there.
Yeah, it's funny playing in churches. Like our music's in no way like satanic or anything, but you're just a rock band in a church.
It seems
a little bit
wrong. It seems a bit weird. did you grow up religious in any way?
No.
Or are you religious anyway?
No, no, I'm not really. No, I'm not at all. Not even not really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know anyone that's kind of religious. I'm not friends with anyone that's...
Yeah, I'm not religious at all, but I really respect it, and I wouldn't say I envy it, but I actually meet more. More religious people now, more people who are practicing religions now.
Yeah.
Doing like meeting bands and artists than I ever have.
Really?
Yeah. Who, you know, openly talk about their faith in a really like kind of cool way.
Yeah. Yeah
and whereas
yeah,
where
yeah.
I grew up, we were all a bunch of like atheists who were just like, it's not cool to like that, and just be down on that sort of thing.
Yeah. I think there's still definitely that kind of feeling. I don't know, maybe you just grow out of it, kind of. But yeah, I know what you mean about kind of like almost envying it.
It'd be like nice
just having something. Yeah, I don't know, some faith in something.
Like it, yeah. Something to fall back on.
Depressed all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Something to fall back on, a bit, have it in your back pocket a little bit. But it doesn't really work that way, does it?
No.
You have to fully believe it. Yeah. There's a really good podcast called Sounds Like a Cult.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, and it's not about actual cults. It's about things that are quite culty. So, like, there's one on Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And it's about, like, the fans of Elon Musk.
Kind of, you know, like, following.
Yeah, you can't do anything wrong. There's one on, like, Peloton, I think, or, like, that...
Peloton's really culty. It's kind of, like... It's exactly like that episode of... It's such a cliche to say now. It sounds like Black Mirror. that episode of Black Mirror where it's kind of like an X Factor kind of spoof, almost.
Right, right, right.
But those adverts where people are just kind of, like... They've got like big screens in front of them and they're like, I don't know, doing some like mad cycling competition in like France. They're doing like the Tour de France like room or something, and they're just kind of like staring at a wall like cycling.
It's and there's an instructor say, "You've got come this, Ollie.
Come on.
Great work, Peloton.
We're going up."
Yeah. I think it's a scam, isn't it?
It's the pyramids. It's a pyramid scheme.
Absolutely a scam. But they've just had a very good pandemic.
Yeah.
A few, you know, there are certain things. This is a conversation that everyone has and probably doesn't need to be recorded onto a podcast, but I'm going to say it anyway. Certain things, like QR codes, had very strong pandemics.
Yeah, the inventor of the QR code.
Because it was down and out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When was the last time you'd used a QR code?
Well, I didn't even know.
I even had.
I didn't even know you could just use your camera to...
No,
to
open it up. Yeah. I had an app.
Yeah.
I thought you had a QR code app. Peloton, all the delivery companies, all of the supermarkets, all of those things just had...
There were a lot of things that skyrocketed.
Yeah, and Peloton's one where that surely would not have taken off without people being locked inside their houses.
It's funny though, speaking about Peloton, before the pandemic I was terrified of cycling, but when you could like go out and do some exercise and there was no one on the roads... Me and my partner just got on bikes, and now I love it.
This is in Bristol.
Yeah, it's a really nice city to cycle around.
So, what was it? Had you cycled as a kid?
I had, but my partner's really, really, really into cycling, and her family are really into cycling. They've been doing it kind of all their life, and it was only when I started cycling with her that I realised how petrified my parents were of cycling.
they've like, passed on their fear to you.
I remember me and my partner were around my parents' house, and we were going to cycle from Chippenham to Bristol, which is like 3 hours, and my mum and dad were like, yeah, just make sure you cycle on the pavement, it's safer. and then Natalie was like, way more dangerous.
That's way more dangerous. Yeah. It would take forever as well, wouldn't it?
It really would, yeah.
Because you'd have to be, well, you'd be constantly stopping for people, and then there's bits where there's driveways.
You
can't just speed over a driveway.
Pavement the whole way to Bristol.
Yeah, I mean, that would take, that. They've passed on that.
I think so,
fear to you.
It'll be interesting to hear what they think about that after they listen to this podcast.
So now you cycle, how into it have you got? Have you got the lycras?
I haven't got the lycra. I have thought about maybe doing some like squid lycra, but A, I think it would be really, really expensive.
Yeah.
And B, it's I don't know, maybe it's not the best look.
I think that the jersey would be good.
Yeah, a jersey would be good.
I guess it depends on...
Maybe not shorts. Or...
Yeah, I think the shorts are too much.
Too far.
Stop with the shorts. But maybe, this would be actually really expensive, I think, but a squid helmet.
That would be good.
Because you have to wear a helmet, whereas not everyone opts for that lycra.
Yeah, and yeah, that would be good. I'm very... I always wear my helmet.
Yeah, me too.
And I make other people wear their helmets. So if there was a squid helmet that was really cool, maybe that would make people wear it more.
I had a very close call on my bike and I wasn't wearing a helmet.
Oh, I think I listened to the you and Jason Williamson. Is it when you...
Oh, yeah, I think I might...
Was it when you broke your back or something?
Yeah. I broke a vertebrae in my spine, but I had, that was just after then, because I think when I met him, I was wearing this, looked like a bulletproof. I looked like, it was like this, it's horrible. It looked quite cool, actually.
Yeah.
I actually had a meeting, I went and met the team at Warp whilst I had that on.
Yeah.
And when I'm watching, I'm like,
I bet they'd
that's cool.
That.
They were like, like your top. I'm like, it's a back brace. I've broken my back. This is not a fashion choice.
It's techno brace.
Yeah. You know. Oh, right. Oh, okay. But can I get one? But where can I get one? But I was wearing that when we recorded that podcast. Yeah. And I wasn't wearing a helmet. I wouldn't often wear a helmet back then.
Yeah.
And I landed on the road, but the back of my head smacked onto the road.
Oh, my God.
And I had to go. I was rushed to hospital and they didn't know about the back at that point. They were mostly concerned about my head. Yeah. But I was in a lot of pain, but I was also so embarrassed that whenever I was talking to a doctor and they asked me, first thing was like, were you in a helmet? And I had to say no every time. Yeah. And I just felt so stupid that since that day, I wear it every single time. I don't actually preach it to others not wearing the helmet.
Yeah.
Because I was that person.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that, but...
Holier than thou.
Yeah. And I'm like... But I'm kind of glad I had that moment.
Yeah.
Because now I still cycle. I'm, you know, it didn't knock my confidence in cycling, but it did make me think I have to always wear a helmet because it's just mental.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I kind of always wear a helmet and make people feel guilty about it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. It's like, where's your helmet?
Yeah, come on.
What's your best merch that you've delivered?
We're really shit at merch.
Yeah, we are. We made some mittens recently, which I should say now are still available.
Oh, what, the footy ones?
Oh no, the shirt's doing really well.
Yeah, great.
Shirt's doing great. That's available for another, by the time this goes out, it won't be available anymore, but we might do another one later in the year.
Oh, nice.
But we made some fleece mittens, Loud and Quiet fleece mittens.
Are they still up?
They are still up. Mate, don't buy them. I'll send you some. They are blocking the light out of our office. We have got so many of them. I thought they were like a really kind of fun novelty, but useful.
Yeah, this
I mean,
is
I
the
like
thing.
A mitten. So that's I've misjudged literally everybody else in the world.
Yeah, it's that classic thing of like when you buy someone a present that you think they'll love, but it's actually something for you.
Yeah.
Like we want to make ping pong bats but we just think we just love ping pong. no one else loves ping pong as much as us.
Yeah.
And they'd be really hard to make as well.
Do you have a without divulging too much trade secrets, do you have like, because you've got a really dedicated fan base who love you.
Yeah.
There's probably an amount that would buy a ping pong bat.
Yeah, like they just buy it.
They want the thing.
Yeah.
So you could maybe do a run. It's about working out that number, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's not like we're not going to convert any kind of people who don't listen to our band for massive ping pong
bats. Yeah.
We're not going to see
that's not going to happen. So. Unless you do some sort of collab.
Yeah.
Have you done any of those?
No. I think that would be good, though. We're just terrible at merch. We just like... Just always very last minute. We sold, we headlined Dot to Dot last weekend. When we played in Nottingham, we sold 2 t-shirts.
Right.
We hired someone to do merch for us.
And it cost you more than a T-shirt.
Cost us more than a T-shirt.
Yeah. Do you take that rejection badly, or are you okay with just saying, hey, we tried this thing, it didn't really work, it's not a big deal,
yeah,
let's move on to the next thing?
It depends what it is. If it's like, if it's merch, then I find it kind of funny. Sold two T-shirts, even like we're headlining a festival, we sold two T-shirts. But yeah, T-shirts, yeah, I'm fine with that rejection.
The music itself,
yeah,
is a different thing.
The music itself, I guess, is a different thing.
Yeah,
I think it's that easy to say that, oh, we're just doing this for us, but you know, you want other people to enjoy it. I think I used to be quite good.
You're bad at it. Like, I think I'm getting worse.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely getting worse as well.
I'm like, why doesn't anyone want these mittens? That's so warm. They come in two colours. I'm going to stop talking about the mittens now, but one last thing I will say about them. We even, when you subscribe, like for people that subscribe to the magazine, there's even an option now for you to opt in to get free mittens. And people are not opting in for the free.
It's exactly
the same price. It's this one, you get all of these things. And this one, you get all these things. And you get some free mittens. And people are opting in for the one without them.
Why?
It's damning, isn't it? That is damning. I mean, we're definitely
State of the world today.
We're out of season, that's for sure. And people are probably just thinking, I don't...
Well, I'm going to
send the band some mittens, all of you. So with the ping pong, do you have a ping pong table in the... Not necessarily on tour,
but do you
put it on your rider?
No, I don't think we're there yet, but I think...
Next tour.
Next time. Well, I don't know. Let's see how the next album goes.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Do you have unusual rider requests, or is it...
No, it's all pretty standard.
Hummus,
yeah, carrot sticks.
Why? Everyone has hummus and carrot sticks.
I don't really know. It's the industry standard, I think.
Is that something that when you're dreaming of being in a band... You think, I can't wait for the free hummus.
I wait to have some warm hummus, warm fizzy hummus.
Because I think, like, I think the hummus thing is a fairly recent development.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Surely in the 90s it was Stella's.
Yeah.
Fags.
Yeah, I should do that.
Drugs. Yeah. And there wouldn't be any hummus on there, I don't think. Or
no vegetables.
No vegetables, a big bowl of fruit.
We did ask for... There was a period where Arthur got really... he got really obsessed with the... with Grey Goose and, you know, Purdy's. The kind of, like, middle-class energy drink.
Yeah, yeah.
He got obsessed with that, and we had that on our rider, but then we just realised, like, a bottle of Grey Goose every single night. It's going to waste.
Would you get through that?
No, we're very tame now. We just ask for alcohol-free beers.
Is that because do you try to stay off the beer before the show?
Yeah. Yeah, I find that for me personally, it makes me really nervous to be drunk when I'm on stage.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if I'm a bit pissed and then I make one mistake, and I'll keep on thinking about that mistake, and then I'll make another mistake, and then I'll just kind of spiral.
Right. That's not
so
good.
Fake beers.
Does that come from a show? Have you played a show that's been like, that's it, I can't be drinking?
No, not really. It's just kind of, I think we're all pretty hard on ourselves with kind of like just making little mistakes that obviously no one apart from you notice.
Do you notice when someone else on stage makes a mistake, even though you wouldn't tell them?
Yeah, but it's also quite fun. You can, if someone makes a mistake, you can kind of style it out with another mistake, like it was kind of planned almost.
That happens
sometimes, but we don't tell each other about the mistakes.
You get back off the show and say, you were shit,
you played that E instead of the F.
Oh man, that was so embarrassing. Everyone was laughing.
I can't believe you've done that.
I think you should probably leave the band. When was it that you did the tour that was work in progress stuff?
That was the...
Is that the sit-down?
The sit-down ones, yeah.
Did any songs come from that are going to be on the new record?
Yeah, I think pretty much all of them, actually, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So there will be people who, when that album comes out, will be like, I heard yeah. forms of these.
Yeah, I hope so.
That's quite cool.
I remember that one.
Fuck, they put this one. They put this one on.
God.
Oh God, I don't hold out much hope for the rest of the album. This is the lead single. Oh, no thanks. I feel like we should walk, shouldn't we?
Yeah, let's do let's do the Zane Lowe thing.
We can start heading back. This is quite intimate now because we're kind of tethered.
It's very intimate.
By like. Ollie and I.
Yeah, womb-like.
We've got these little. Yeah, we've got these umbilical cords going from our clip-on mics to the recorder. So don't run off, whatever you do. Is there anything you can say about the second record?
Or I don't know. When is this? When's this going out?
I mean, not in quite soon. I'd say next, like okay. 4 weeks. Are you allowed to tell us if it's finished?
Yeah, it's pretty much there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite nerve-wracking doing the second album.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you feeling the pressure of the first one?
Yeah, a little bit.
So good.
Kind of like everything went so well with the first one, but just worried about how people receive it. But I'm sure it'll be fine.
I think it's quite nice to hear artists say that because I don't think you're meant to. You're meant to say,
it's the best thing we've ever done.
Best thing we ever, and you know, we don't really care anyway. Like, we're pleased with it and we don't really care. I mean, the first one did, it charted at 4.
I know, it's mad. I couldn't believe it.
Did you all go out and get smashed?
We didn't when it charted, but when it came out, we had a massive party.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know, maybe slightly bending the rules in May.
Okay.
It's
Boris
there. Really fun. Yeah. He turned up for it. Cheeked all the rules.
I imagine it's very different, like being in a band at this point. Not just the second album thing, but the journey of Squid, as I'd see it, would be like you were playing so much before you signed your deal. Like, there was this real momentum, and like every show you're playing so much, and all of those shows were like really full and like it was like incredible. And then you had all these labels wanting to sign you, and all these people coming down, and you signed your deal with Warp, and then at that point I guess you were the hyped band, you know, the band that everyone was like squid. And then your album comes out and now you're in this like second phase of people are waiting to see what you do next, I guess.
Yeah, I guess we've shot ourselves in the foot a little bit in the I think people don't really know what to expect with us, and that's quite a good thing.
Yeah.
But then, we never really have a plan of what kind of music we're going to make. So, it could be rubbish. I think. But it's like, kind of that thing of everyone's expecting the unexpected, and the unexpected might be. Might be a bit too weird.
Is it?
But that's just my own anxieties. I think I'm proud of it. I'm pretty proud of it.
Great. Is it?
Don't want to be too dour about this.
No, let's be positive. It's going to be great. Are you going to be playing anything new off it, like at shows or not yet? Not really yet. No,
there's a few tracks we've been playing for a while, but a lot of them. It's all quite like proggy, and I can't actually sing and play the drum part at the same time. So I think we just need to lock ourselves in a room for like a week and learn how to play all these new songs.
Right.
Which would be really nice because I think if we ended up playing all of it now, we'd just get sick of it by next year. So
absolutely, I think I actually think the first album is like for an album that kind of experimental. Mm. And unexpected to go in at number 4, is huge.
Yeah, it's mad.
Like it's kind of a pretty
crazy year for people charting.
Yeah, well, did you feel that people were surprised by that album, having heard the singles beforehand?
Yeah, I think so. Like a lot of my friends were like, "Oh, I wasn't actually like expecting it to be that weird. I thought it'd just be like, you know,
Houseplants.
12 Houseplants."
Yeah, sure.
That's kind of like one of the biggest compliments that I think people have been giving us, being like, "Oh, it's actually really weird."
Yeah, in a good way. We liked how weird it was.
Exactly what
Shall we head back?
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably should, shouldn't we? You've got a show to play.
What's the time? Oh, nice.
20 past nine. And what will your pre-show routine be now?
I don't know.
Go and hang out with Goldie.
I really, really wanted to have a photo with him this morning, but he was on the phone.
What would your opening salvo to Goldie would have been? Well, if he wasn't on the phone, would you have spoken to him?
I wanted to, yeah. I went out for a cigarette and I didn't have a lighter, and I saw that he had a lighter, so that was a good...
That's a good in.
That was a good in. Yeah. Oh, are you Goldie? I didn't recognise.
Would you have,
you confirmed that you're Goldie?
Would you have said, excuse me, can I come borrow your lighter? And then he says, yeah. And you go, oh, hang on a minute. You're Goldie, aren't you?
I know those teeth.
Sorry, mate, you look just like Goldie.
Just like Goldie. I love drum and bass.
Generally speaking, though, when you see an artist, that do you approach people? Like when it's someone that you admire and say hi or get a selfie or whatever, or do you shy away from it?
It depends if I've had a drink or not.
Okay.
But there was actually when I used to work at Domino and I did a went along to a Stephen Maltmus and the Jicks radio session, and I'm a pretty big Pavement fan.
Yeah.
And I went up to Stephen Maltmus and I said, hi Ollie, I'm Stephen. Which is really, really embarrassing. And I don't think I'd talk to any of my heroes after that.
For previous episodes of Midnight Chat, simply search your podcast app. And don't forget to follow or subscribe in order to receive new episodes as they're published every week at midnight. For more information on the music magazine that makes this series, visit loudandquiet.com.
Anyway, good night.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.